The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Caring Voice, a Sunday morning program brought to you each week by Aberdeen Home Care of Danvers, bringing valuable strategies to caring for the loved senior in your life. Now, here's your host, registered nurse, founder, and president of Aberdeen Home Care, Joanne McInnes.
Good morning, friends and listeners of Caring Voice. Thank you for joining us on yet another Sunday morning, and we're delighted to spend a half hour with you. I'm Joanne McInnes. I'm the president and CEO at Aberdeen Home Care of Danvers, where we care for mostly elders and their families as they go through whatever kind of medical situation they're facing and try to bring as much care and support as we possibly can. That's my real job, but my fun job right here is the host of Caring Voice. Each week, we try to bring a superstar local celebrity to the radio show to share their level of expertise with you. And because we had such an overwhelming response to Bob Staines of Conflict Transformation in Danvers, we have Bob back again for another special guest appearance this week. So welcome, Bob Staines, and thank you for being our guest again on Caring Voice.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's so much fun to talk with you, and I learned so much. Let's see what we can do today.
Well, there's certainly a lot going on, listeners. Like I need to tell you, you're living it, I'm living it. So's Bob. We're all in the same storm, but we're in different boats. And I think that metaphor is so powerful. We want to explore that a little bit more today and talk again. We talked about resiliency last Sunday, and we want to peel the onion on resiliency. I mean, it's a big word. I think it has a lot of different meanings to different people. Maybe we think that originates from past experience and how well we've coped with the struggles that we've had in life and how we've been able to grow and develop. But there's really so much to it. And Bob's such an expert on all of these matters that we're going to pick his brain and see what he has to teach us today about developing resiliency, defining resiliency, and how maybe we can actually use these skills in the current situation we find ourselves in, which just seems to get more and more complicated as life goes by. I think of a couple things that are going on. Maybe you're in a situation where you have an ill family member, you know, separated in the hospital, maybe in a nursing home, maybe you're a parent of school-age children, maybe your spouse is a teacher, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you work in a school system. And so there's so many things going on, and we're so overwhelmed by everything in the news, we don't really know what compartment to put it in. Bob, I've been sort of compartmentalizing things all along, and now I find, you know, it's kind of like my bedroom. I go to open the drawer, and I just can't fit another pair of socks in there. You know, they need to be put away, but they just won't fit. So let's peel back that onion and open up this conversation again about resiliency, what it is, how we get it, how we use it, and all that goes with that.
Yeah, I've been thinking in the last week since we talked, thinking, you know, more about resilience and thinking about how really at the core of being resilient is how we relate to and manage our emotions. And I think when I'm not resilient, I'm very vulnerable to being carried along and sort of hijacked by a negative emotion that might come up, whether that's fear or sadness. And I can really get, there's a lot of sort of metaphors that come to me about this, sort of swept down the rabbit hole or carried along by the hurricane or however you want to talk about it. It's that the feeling grows and I feel less and less able to be in control. And in order for me to manage in a situation like that, I need a couple of things. One of the things that I need is a strong foundation. I need a foundation of emotional sort of resilience and stability myself in order to be able to engage those outside triggers and threats. And the other thing that's been really helpful to me and actually my family is to know that there is a way out and that there is another world out there that's that exists, that is not freighted with all this. There is a future, as we were talking about last week, that will be a non-COVID future. And to keep that in mind, and that also there's a way of functioning that's not the way that I'm functioning in the moment that I'm triggered, that's available to me. So these are the things that have been rattling around in my mind in the intervening week.
We could talk about maybe some quick fixes or, you know, take a walk, phone a friend, have some dark chocolate because it releases oxytocin. I mean, we could throw a lot of those little tips, but those have gone thin on me. And, you know, real change, you know, I there's a company in North Beverly and I know the people that run it and I love the premise, change is simple. And I guess in some ways it is, but in other ways it's hard. And to really develop resiliency isn't something, you know, to develop big muscles, you don't go to the gym twice. It's something that has to be worked on over and over
again. That's why it hasn't worked for me.
See, That's it. Cultivating a beautiful garden, you know, I've been working on one for 20 years and only now do I really see the fruits of my labor. But that's what I love about what you have to offer is that you're not giving us trite, quick fixes to how to patchwork a Band-Aid over a wound. We really have to go at it and approach it from all sides and understand it. I think that's the thing is, you know, it's like dieting. You know what to eat, but until you understand why you eat the wrong things, you're probably going to continue to do that.
Let me stay with the garden metaphor for a moment because I was just thinking that myself, and I'm a gardener and sometimes a would-be gardener, but have been for many years. And I guess it must be about 6 or 7 years ago, someone that I worked with, I was having trouble with my vegetables, you know, raising my vegetables. And this person I was working with is a real expert gardener, and she said, well, how much attention are you giving to your soil? And I thought, what? Attention to my soil? What are you talking about? And she said, well, what do you know about your soil? I'm like, it's dirt. What's needed? What do I need to know, right? And she said, well, you need to know how much sand is in there and how much clay and how much, you know, humus and what the nutrients are. And then you'll know what you need to add to cultivate the soil before you cultivate your plants. So I started to do that. I learned about my soil and I cultivated it by adding humus and fertilizer, et cetera, until I had soil that had all the nutrients that I needed so that then the next time that I put my seeds in, I had this growth that was amazing. I had these tomato plants that were huge and squash and all the cool stuff that I wanted to grow that was kind of anemic before that. So I've been thinking about that a lot and thinking about how what's the metaphor here? Well, I have a marked out space that I go to grow stuff, right? And I have to pay attention to what's the foundation of that growth. And I have to cultivate that in order for that growth to happen so that when I do plant the seeds, it's not just going to be like a quick fix, like if you planted the seed, it would just come up and die. It's going to really go deep and be nurtured. And there are a lot of things that we can do if we're thinking about the sort of garden of resilience that we are creating for ourselves to strengthen that, to make sure that that soil is really nutritious and feeding the kinds of things that we want to grow for ourselves.
That's so interesting. And it seems so simple when you say it. It's like that aha moment. It's like, that's truth. How can we expect to grow beautiful living things out of crappy soil? How can we expect that? Or no water or anything else? And the minute you consider that for a second, you leap over to who we are as people. And what do we really expect from ourselves? I mean, how can we sleep very little, eat very poorly, get no exercise, get no fresh air, have no diversion, and expect ourselves to thrive and be able to tolerate things that come at us that require our best response? It doesn't make sense. It's in a math equation that just doesn't add up. The denominators do not add. They are opposite. You can't add them up. It's not going to work. That's perfect. I love that. The show's going so quickly because this is such a deep and rich topic to discuss and to unearth. To stay with the gardening theme, stay with the gardening theme. By the way, didn't you used to love that Victory Garden? That was on Channel 2 when I was growing up, PBS. Yeah. Jim Crockett was his name. He was the original Victory Gardener, and then it got taken over by other people, but I digress. But that was a great great show. It was kind of like the painter, Bob. Bob Ross. Yeah, Painting with Bob Ross. Things that soothe your soul. And even as a kid, I found those mesmerizing. But of course, my all-time favorite is Fred Rogers, you know? So what can I say? I'm a geek from way back. We're coming close to our halfway point in the show, and we'll be taking a break. But listeners, this has got to have piqued your interest because it's got mine going. All my cylinders are circling now. So we want to be resilient. We want to be strong. We want to have things to offer our loved ones. We want to model for our children. We want to be able to get through this maybe with more insight than we came into it. So if you are smart, if you are wise, you will join us in just a couple minutes when we're back from our break with our resident guru, Bob Staines of Conflict Transformation out of Danvers. And thanks again, Bob, for being with us today. So listeners, come right back, fill your coffee. How about this? Empty your bladder and fill your coffee. And I can say that because I'm a nurse. See you in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Caring Voice on North Shore 104.9.
Are you a certified nursing assistant? Are you a home health aide? Are you an LPN or an RN? Well, if you are and you've ever worked in home care or have an interest to work in home care, I want to have a conversation with you. I'm Joanne MacInnis. I'm a registered nurse of almost 40 years, and I own and operate Aberdeen Home Care out of Danvers. We've been in business 20 years, and it's time for us to grow our team. We are a small agency by the size of some mega agencies. We have a little over 100 staff members, and we're looking to increase that by bringing on exceptional people. So if you have a commitment and a passion for caregiving, if you love home care, or if you're just wanting to stick your toe in the swimming pool of home care and find out if it's for you, we'd love to have a conversation. Our area of coverage is from Newburyport to Greater Boston and everything in between. We offer the highest compensation package locally, very generous benefits, including an over-industry 401k match and lots of other things. We operate on a nursing model so that we have a nurse case manager for every client on service. And those people will also be your direct link to get support and education and instruction when you're out in the field caring for your patients. So if you'd like to talk to us at Aberdeen Home Care, please call us at 978-500-5161 or visit us online at aberdeenathome.com and click careers, because we would love to talk to you.
I'm Bob Staines with Bob Staines Conflict Transformation. I can help you if you have a very difficult decision that you have to make about an elder in your family, navigate the difficulties of family conversations, using my skills as a former family therapist and a dialogue facilitator, bringing people together for what I would call a protected space and a constructive conversation, and to be able to listen to one another in a deep way, how best to help mom or dad. To contact me, go to bobstaines.com, that's B-O-B-S-T-A-I-N-S, or email me, bobstaines@bobstaines.com.
You're listening to Caring Voice, presented by Aberdeen Home Care on North Shore 104.9.
What do you know, listeners? I think that you feel a little better since your trip to the bathroom, and I bet you're delighted to have that second or third or fourth cup of coffee going down. So welcome back to Caring Voice. I'm Joanne MacInnis. I'm the host of the show, and I own and operate Aberdeen Home Care out of Danvers. Delighted to be coming back to part two of our program with my very special guest and very good friend, Bob Staines from Conflict Transformation. And we are talking about resiliency, something we all want and need and crave, especially now. So, Bob, you've got a great story to tell us to enter into the second part of the show. Take it away.
Well, I think, you know, for me, metaphor really means a lot and story means a lot. I think we probably learn more and remember more through stories and metaphors than we do through all the fancy stuff that we can say. And I'm thinking about this time of isolation, of, you know, that we are encapsulated, we're surrounded, we're contained by this disease that's around us. COVID has really restricted us. And there have been times in my life and the lives of people that I love that have been similar to that. And there was a time in my my daughter, one that lives in Chicago, who was having a rough time after she moved out there. And I sat down and wrote to her one night about what I was seeing in the midst of a blizzard that we were having. I think it was in 2015. Remember that when the drifts were up to the, you couldn't see through your window? And I live on a reservoir, and I was sitting in my family room looking out the slider, and I said to her, you know, I can't see the reservoir right now. There's a wall of snow in front of me, and I can't see it. And it's easy to imagine that it's not there, that the water is no longer there for me to enjoy. But it is there. And I know that if I walk around to the shed, I have a shovel. And I can take that shovel and I can dig through that snow and I can see the fact the water is there. And we all have those. We all have that place where we have that shovel that we can use to dig through what appears to be an impermeable barrier to the water that can give us life. Mm-hmm. And for my daughter, I sent her a little plastic shovel to remind her of that. And it now reminds all of us that we have these resources that can help us to break out of the sense of isolation. We may not be able to break out of actual physical isolation, but we don't have to let that control our imagination and our ability to see a future beyond COVID.
Bob, let's dig in a little bit to the resilience, the etiology, and to get back and talk about emotional response. And before we started the program, we were talking a little bit about triggers and hijacking, and I love that term. Can you help us understand or unpack some of that precursor stuff to developing resiliency?
Yeah, so some wonderful research that I would commend to folks by a psychiatrist named Daniel Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. Probably his most accessible work is called The Handbook of Interpersonal Neurobiology. And it's all about brain science and what we can understand from brain science about how we interact with each other and how we manage our emotions. And he talks about this phenomenon of triggering, of how something happens that may remind us of a negative event or may threaten us in some way. And we're flooded with cortisol and adrenaline and some of the other hormones that tamp down on the functioning of the higher orders of our brain. And it's easy to get carried along by negative emotions. It's easy to get one of the terms that people use is hijacked. Once you're triggered, to then things build and build and build until you get just kind of swept away. And there are ways of building the kind of internal emotional resilience that help you to resist that hijacking. And I think of three areas that you can attend to do that. The first is taking a resilience inventory, having a place for a resilience retreat to attend to yourself, and to understand and create your resilience community. So I'll say a little, should I say a little bit about each of these?
You must.
Yeah,
you
must. Okay. In the heat of triggering, and particularly, it's easy to forget the resources that you have internally and also in terms of your external resources. So taking a resilience inventory for yourself, walk through your history and actually write this out about times when you have overcome, times when you have met challenges and you have met those challenges in a way that's successful for you. Who has helped you along the way? What do you stand for and how have you stood for it? This will help you to remember your own capacity when you're confronted with the difficulties associated with COVID for sure and other challenges in your life. And in order to do that, it's helpful to have a regular, and I use the word retreat practice, not in the sense necessarily of going on a retreat, although you may want to do that. You may want to have a specific place that you go to. The great psychiatrist Carl Jung built himself a tower that he could go for retreat to do this kind of meditation. But that is, have a regular practice of stepping back and looking at yourself in terms of your own resources as well as the challenges that you have. And being aware of your own reactions in the moment. The more that you can be aware of your own reactions, the more choice you'll have in how to respond with resilience when you are confronted with a triggering situation. And the last is, you know, there's so much research on the importance of relationship and community in building resilience. If you look at the Stone Center at Wellesley, they've been doing research for, I guess, since probably the 80s on the importance of relationship to build resilience. And I think of building your resilient community. That is, first, understanding what are the connections that you already have that support you that support your sense of being able to bounce back. And then reaching out to those folks when you're in a difficult time. And it's sometimes really tough for us to do that. It certainly is tough for me to do that. I would rather be boiled in oil than ask somebody else for help, I got to tell you. But I have this caring community around me that's very willing to reach out and help me, and they do when I get up the courage to ask. And the last thing about the resilient community is another thing that's been shown in research to be really important is giving back. Is having the sense of contributing to the community as well as benefiting from the community. So the more that I give back, the more connected I am, and the greater sense I have of my own efficacy and ability to affect the events in my life, and therefore the greater sense of resilience.
Well, people, you're going to want to rewind that and listen to that over and over again. I'll tell you right now that you're going to be able to find this show on the Aberdeen website, which is Aberdeen at Home, A-T, aberdeenathome.com. It might not be up to the middle of next week, but you're going to want to listen to that over and over again, because I know I am. It's interesting to me, Bob, as you're talking about developing practices that actually lead to longer-term change than taking a walk or putting a Band-Aid on something. It's always funny when someone's upset, and what's the first thing we say to them? Calm down. Well, if they could calm down, they wouldn't be upset. If they had it in them in that moment where they were triggered and hijacked to reverse that process or to resist the hijacking, they wouldn't be upset. And so I think that's probably the stupidest thing that we can say to somebody who's upset is calm down, because it's not available right now. So I think what you're talking about is going to a buffet and finding things that are available that you can cultivate. But all of these things need to be cultivated. Selflessness needs to be cultivated. Children are by design selfish beings. And it's not because they're bad, it's because that's where they are developmentally. That's their job, is to enrich their own lives and their own growth and development. Mm-hmm. And as we sprinkle the jimmies on top of them, we try to help them to expand their vision, to have more periphery, so it's not just a blinded life about meeting my needs and satisfying my wants. But that doesn't happen. If you don't give that attention and you go to a hormone-enraged 15-year-old, you're probably not going to get the results you were hoping for. The same thing, I think, applies right now. We're in the middle of so much demand on our central nervous system that if we ask ourselves things that we are not prepared to do because we've never practiced it or cultivated it, we're going to fall flat. And people will say, take a walk, take a deep breath, and you're going to say that it didn't work. Well, it didn't work because you didn't really know how to extract out of that what there is in it. You know, if you're on fire, you don't really want to pick out a new outfit for tomorrow. What you want is to get off the burning clothes. And I think so many of us, I know that I vacillate between feeling raw and very exposed and very vulnerable. And then, you know, I can come into my higher self and I can look at things more philosophically and I can have a better approach and see things maybe from a more worldly perspective or what have you, a stronger perspective. And the other thing to, I think, listeners, is to know, just because you have access to these higher thoughts and these better practices, it's not going to be that way every day. It really is like a roller coaster. You know, you will feel strong, and then you may feel like you're falling off a cliff. And then all of a sudden you find a rope and you can kind of climb up the cliff. But Bob, can you talk to that a little bit about how this isn't a straight line? It's more like a staircase that goes up and down rather than, you know, a ramp.
Yeah, so I guess we're really rich with metaphors today. The metaphor that works well for me personally and also in terms of clients is sailing. Even though I don't sail, I understand a little bit about sailing. I've been on boats. My understanding is that you have
not just the Titanic, right? You're not talking about the Titanic. Okay.
You have a course that you set, but you're never actually on that course. You're always to the right or to the left. You know, you're tacking to the right, you're tacking to the left. You know what your through line is. And you realize at some point that you're off course, and then you navigate back and back and back and back. And I guess to link into what we were saying before, the sort of hijack piece is if you start to go off course, you just keep going, right? So you need to know, you know, where you want to go and what the course is that you want to, but you need to be compassionate with yourself when you get off course to say, yes, okay, I've deviated here, and I can come back, and I can come back, and I can come back, and I can still move forward and still move forward and still move forward. So we're
knowing what your resources are too. I mean, knowing to ask for help, knowing right. to go to places that will support you. I mean, you talked about, I've heard about that doctor before.
Dan Siegel.
Yes. When we were talking before the show started, you said it takes a half a second to have your brain flooded with the emergency hormones.
Right. Yeah.
And then you're still dealing with the crisis at hand. And so how can you possibly expect yourself to come up with a halfway decent response? We're not going to get to everything in 30 short minutes. This is, you know, a field of study that can take a lifetime. But just to introduce you listeners to these topics of resiliency, and that there are whole practices based around how to develop this further for yourself. But even if you use those three steps that Bob mentioned, inventory, resilience retreat, and resilience community. If that's your takeaway today, then you've been enriched. And think about your inventory. You know, what is it? What are your expectations? Are you doing fine? Great. If you think you could do better, or you'd like to model something better for someone who looks up to you, and feel better yourself, then you know that's going to be part of your inventory. But this is an opportunity for us. I mean, it's certainly stressful, and it's putting a great demand on all of us, especially if we add in things like a child who is suffering, or mental health that is exacerbating, or physical health of someone that can't, or that left a nursing home and is now living with you and you're responsible for 24/7 care, or a terminal diagnosis that has come during COVID. So many things are adding to the weight that we are already carrying if we don't have these extraordinary additions to our plate. And how do we survive those in real time? But there's no quick answer. There's no Band-Aid. There is a commitment to a practice. And maybe this is the time that you make a personal decision that this is something that you're going to seek out, that resiliency is important to you, and that it could serve you now and in the future. So I hope this program has been helpful for you. It's certainly helpful for me. And I want to encourage you already to join in because next week, next Sunday at 7:30, Caring Voice will be back again with Bob Staines, because there's so much to talk about. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about family dynamics and how those are playing out in a time when we're all in different ages and have different expectations and different needs. We're all living under the same roof. Ah, I hear you all screaming. I hear who did that picture, Bob, of the scream?
Oh, it was
Edvard Munch or Munch, M-U-N-C-H, something like that. Anyway, I know I know his work. I see that scream in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
More often than my psychiatrist says I should say on the air. Anyhow, stay tuned next week when Caring Voice comes back to explore more, to peel the onion, to unpack this huge trunk that we have of trying to make sense of the time that we live in, all the while trying to maintain the commitments that we have in the world, whatever those might be. Until then, please visit our website, aberdeenathome.com, where you can get a lot of self-help information, a lot of support, a lot of COVID updated information. And there's a place to reach out, virus@aberdeenathome.com, if you have questions about COVID and you need some attention or some specific answers. I'm happy to avail myself to you that way. So Bob Staines, thank you so much again for being such a brilliant guest. We really need a 3-hour show. We don't need a 30-minute show to even get our feet in the water, because this is such an exciting topic and has so much to offer us. So thank you so much for being our special guest today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Tune in again next week for Caring Voice, brought to you by Aberdeen Home Care in Danvers. Caring Voice airs each and every Sunday morning at 7:30, providing valuable strategies related to caring for the seniors in our lives.
prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.